This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Health News Digest on the Bigger Picture. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Health News Digest. I'm Tina Kamina alongside T. Xiao Ik. We are talking about how children are being put in cages, almost in the literal sense.
Yes.
At least 2,000 children have been separated from their parents under Trump's zero-tolerance immigration policy.
Let's hear from President Donald Trump defending this policy first.
The United States will not be a migrant camp, and it will not be a refugee-holding facility. You look at what's happening in Europe, you look at what's happening in other places, we can't allow that to happen to the United States, not on my watch. You take a look at the death and destruction that's been caused by people coming into this country without going through a process. We want safety and we want security for our country.
I don't know what kind of death and destruction he's talking about, because these are the very people who are escaping death and destruction in their own countries. They're seeking asylum in the United States because they're coming from places like Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, where there's so much gang violence, there's so much
civil unrest.
Yes, homicide, there's so much corruption in their country that's unable to deal with keeping their own citizens safe. So if they, you know, that's the fate of refugees. They have to flee the safe, the comforts of their own home to seek a refuge elsewhere.
And the U.S., of course, being the closest nation that, well, initially they thought could provide them with with that kind of safety and security. But now they're being turned away. They're being held captive. And in the past couple of months, it's been it's escalating.
Yes.
And children are being separated from their parents. That's the most troubling part.
Yes. So the Trump administration's new policy is that any adult caught crossing the U.S. border illegally will be charged with federal crimes straight away, as opposed to previous administrations, which would refer those with children to immigration courts. So at least they could keep them together and they could reduce the impact of, criminal action on them. So now, or at least what we've seen in the 6 weeks between April and May, was that children were being separated from their parents with no clear procedure for their reunification, aside from hotlines that the parents could call to try to track their children down. But if you imagine nearly 2,000 children and their parents trying to reach each other, I don't think hotlines are going to be of much help. What we've been seeing in the news, on TV and from photos, are that more than 1,100 detainees are being held in detention centers that are made out of like old warehouses with chain link fences separating them. And you are not wrong about describing them as cages, because some of the children are being held in this literal like steel mesh kind of cages, basically. The Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen defended their actions, saying that the children are well looked after. They have meals, they have education, medical care, and TVs. But at the end of the day, you've separated them almost forcibly from their parents.
Yeah, and they're not really allowing visitors, whether it's journalists or politicians from the other side of the political divide, to visit these detention areas.
That's right. Very, very heavily guarded and controlled visits.
So they put up this front where it looks as though everything is fine and dandy, but actually, who knows what's happening when the cameras are away.
Yes, that's right. In an update, Donald Trump has said, this last week, that he's signing an executive order to stop the separation of children from their parents. But the fact remains that
they had been separated already.
Yes, for weeks now, and in such a huge number. And
the trauma has already been caused.
Correct, absolutely right. And in a twist, Tina, we've also been reading that the information, confidential health and psychological information revealed by the children to social workers as well as to clinical psychologists from the Office of Refugee Resettlement, and this kind of information has been used against them in court proceedings to either deport them back to their countries or to detain them in higher security levels. And so this is a severe, gross violation of medical ethics as well as of children's rights.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be confidential, this information between a mental, between a health worker and the patient. It's, you're supposed to be protected by that doctor-patient confidentiality. And on top of that, these are children. They have no idea what their rights are, what, you know, they're supposed to trust these people in authority to protect them. And then, you know, they're not getting the support that they're supposed to get. Yes. And further to that, they're being, whatever they're saying to them in confidence, they are, it's being used against them.
Against them. And
How will this then affect, like, what's the future like for them? I mean, I'm trying to make you become a
armchair psychologist. No, but even without expert knowledge, I think we can already guess that they are putting these children through a great deal of trauma. As it is, they come from very troubled backgrounds. As I've described earlier, their countries are those wrecked by gang violence. They themselves are dealing with a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder and other mental issues from not having ever known safety and security when they were growing up. So being removed from your parents after what's easily maybe weeks of trying to get to the US border, right? Of knowing that you're fleeing somewhere.
And which is itself already quite a journey.
Correct.
It's already going to be stressful, right. Mentally draining,
yes.
Full of anxiety.
That's right, yeah.
And your life before that, if you, you know, these kids didn't have a great life.
Absolutely.
Right? They've been abused, they've been faced with violent threats and maybe even having suicidal thoughts because of those early experiences. All that culminating to them being ending up in cages.
Literally in cages. Right? So we're talking about elevated and chronically elevated levels of stress hormones. We talk about adults being stressed, children get stressed too. Mm. And the hormones like cortisol and adrenaline, when they're constantly elevated, produce a lot of physical symptoms. It increases your blood pressure, causes a lot of anxiety, manifests in physical problems like headaches, upset stomachs, which adults will, you know, probably brush off when children complain about these things, but they are actually signs that something worse is going on inside the mind and in the body. And experts have said that emotionally, children will eventually enter a state of traumatic bereavement. And even when they may not show outward signs of stress or shock anymore, when they may not be crying constantly anymore, that could actually be worse when they stop crying. You just get children feeling profound anxiety and depression. And there are studies that have shown that highly activated stress systems will cause reduced electrical activity in the brain and eventually lead to, you know, affect their cognitive development.
There would just be those shell-shocked individuals and just almost like an empty shell.
Correct. Right? Yeah. Do you have you ever heard of the Romanian orphans who never cried?
Yes.
So in the 80s and 90s, Romania had a history of institutionalizing either orphans who had no parents or children whose families just couldn't deal with them, especially disabled children or children with mental health problems. And they were put in orphanages, homes, institutions, shelters, which later on it was revealed that they lived in terrible conditions.
Yes, they didn't have the enough people who are capable of dealing with that magnitude of
absolutely complex conditions. And then you had news reports of babies sitting in their cots, like four babies to a cot, and they were not crying.
Mm.
And the older children who were just rocking themselves because they were in just constant anxiety. So that's the kind of I mean, that was happening in the 80s and 90s in a former communist country. Mm. Is this what we expect in 2018?
Yeah. Mm.
Anyway, we could also listen to the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics, Dr. Colleen Croft, who herself visited one of these so-called cages, and she describes what she saw there.
I went into a shelter that was designed for very young children and walked into the toddler room. And very different than when you normally see toddlers, they're usually running around and rambunctious. There were a number of very quiet children. And there was one little girl who was just sobbing and wailing and beating her little fists on the mat. So when we look at what happens to the stress response in human beings and very young children, when we are stressed, we have increased levels of cortisol, of our fight and flight hormones, and normally that helps to protect us when there's a dangerous situation. In the instance where children are separated from their parents, the one buffer they have against these fight or flight chemicals is gone. And so these children are on red alert all the time. And they're not able to buffer these different hormones. And what this can do is disrupt the synapses and the neurological connections that are part of the developing brain. This type of trauma can be long-lasting. And it's difficult to recover from this. We know very young children who are exposed to this type of trauma go on to not develop their speech, not develop their language, not develop their gross and fine motor skills, and wind up with developmental delay. It is a form of child abuse.
I absolutely agree. It's child abuse. It's a violation of their rights.
Yeah. And it's ridiculous because it's happening in the U.S. in 2018.
Yeah, so-called the land of the free and the brave and all that.
Yeah.
But it's shocking and it's terrifying how one administration, especially one person, can do so much damage in a short time.
Initially, President Trump said that there was nothing he could do. It was the policies of the previous administration. Mm. Last week, he signed the executive order to make it stop. So obviously there was something he could have done. Mm-hmm. He just didn't bother doing
yes.
it
yeah.
until I suppose with all these pressures and this international attention to what's happening at the border. Kristen Nielsen was chased out of the Mexican restaurant. I don't know if you read that.
No,
but
I didn't.
She decided to have dinner at the Mexican restaurant and the diners at the restaurants were like, why are you having Mexican dinner when they're starving Mexican children? And they were harassing her. I mean, I'm not condoning verbal abuse, but she was verbally abused to the point where she was chased out of, she ended her meal early. She was rushed out of the restaurant. But, I mean, everyone should be able to have their meals peacefully. But then again, there are 2,000 children or even more people yeah. who are not having their meals peacefully.
Correct. Absolutely right. Yes. Yeah. I think we don't need to say much more about this issue, but we will leave you with a few clips that really put voices to the people who have been separated from their children and how the children are suffering.
In early June, Christina Melgar says she fled El Salvador with her 16-year-old daughter and 10-year-old son. They were seeking asylum at the border after they were threatened by violent gangs.
I just came to this country to protect my children and to do something good, not to do anything bad.
When you came to the border, did you think that you could be separated from your children?
No. I never imagined that would happen.
Consuelo Godoy Garcia and her 15-year-old son Ronaldo fled Guatemala, she says, to escape violence in her country.
Were you treated very well? Were you afraid there?
Te trataron bien. Tenías miedo?
Sí, tenía mucho miedo.
I was very scared.
Okay. What were you scared of?
I didn't
think I'd see my mom again. They didn't tell me where we were going.
I have no information regarding your child. Immigration doesn't call the court or me personally and tell me what happened to your child. If they did do that, it wouldn't hurt my feelings. I'd be happy to relay the information to you if I could, but they don't do that. So hopefully somebody will get in touch with you through that side of the government.
Guatemala. No llores. Vas a llegar con... Mira, ella te va a explicar y te va a ayudar.
Te va a pasar con su consulado.
El papá. Papá.
Yo te...
Ay, mi tía por lo menos para que después llegue mi mami.
¿Me puedes dar una cerró la puerta esa?
The last clip is particularly difficult to listen to. The children are crying for either their parents or for their relatives. There's one child, you will hear that she's actually asking them to call her aunt to come and get her, and that she has memorized her aunt's number so that they can call her.
And yet the border agent joked that the crying was like an orchestra.
Yeah, they're just heartless, if you ask me.
I don't know how else to end this, but let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about gaming addiction as a disease. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.